Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. John in the 10th chapter as we hear a little more about Jesus, who is our good shepherd. Beginning at verse 22, we hear, "At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I told you our series throughout the season of Easter was going to be in two parts. Today, we draw to the end of part one. We've spent the last 2 weeks, and we'll spend today talking a little bit more about what it means to be living for Jesus. The first week that we talked about living for Jesus, we talked about it as believing in Jesus. And last week, we talked about what it means then to follow Jesus. Today, we hear the third piece of that, what it means to listen to Jesus. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we should constantly be seeking to live for Jesus. And having heard these three now from the Gospel of John, we know we go about that work by believing and following and listening to Jesus as the basics of what it means to live for Jesus, committing ourselves to what we find in our mission statement of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. So let's look a little bit more about what it means to listen to Jesus. In the beginning of today's reading, we hear about some people gathered around Jesus at the temple who have what they think is an important and honest question for him. They say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Keeping people in suspense? Really? Jesus doing that? Wow, that's a pretty dramatic take by these people who have gathered around him in the temple. But they aren't wrong to want to know. You see, they've been following Jesus around for some time now. They've been seeing the miracles and the healings. They've been listening to the cryptic parables and teachings. And they just want to know, "Jesus, are you the one that we have long been waiting for? Are you the Messiah? Stop keeping us in suspense and just tell us already." It's hard to blame the people who have gathered around Jesus to ask him this question. They just want the truth spoken simply. So how does Jesus respond? Well, he tells the people, at least in part, he says, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, yet you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Jesus' response sums up what it means to live for Jesus. What we've been talking about for the majority of this month. What it means to believe in Jesus. To follow him and to listen to him. Jesus changes up the order a little bit to maybe be a little bit more of a natural progression. Listen to me, believe in me, follow me. Listening seems to be an important step in that. And it's something that we might not practice as often as we could. So we're going to practice listening this morning. Listening can be hard. I know that. I have a resident of my household who frequently, several times a day, reminds me that listening can be hard work. When I ask if he is listening, he usually says no, so at least he's honest about that. And when I instruct him to turn on his listening ears, I often get excuses about how his ears ran away, about how the batteries that power his ears are drained, or about how he just doesn't want to listen because he's so busy. Now, you can draw your own conclusions about which male member of my household this is. But I think you know. I really can't blame him too much. His excuses, while they're cute, are honest. And if I'm honest, I probably use those exact same excuses on Jesus. Jesus, I can't hear you because my ears ran away. They're not here. They left the building. Sorry. Jesus, I can't listen to you today. The thing that powers my ears, well, the batteries are drained and I just don't know where to find new batteries. Jesus, I can't listen to you today. I'm really busy right now. Listening is hard. And each of our listening opportunities that we get to practice this morning will mirror a way that we can listen to Jesus each and every day. So find your ears, turn them on, change out the batteries, whatever you need to do, because it's time to practice some listening. Now we're going to begin with a partner exercise. So you're going to need to turn to someone else. Now, if you are sitting next to your spouse and would rather not do this with them, that's okay. Turn to somebody different. All right? And if there's somebody who needs a partner, you get me. Just let me know. All right? So when you have your partner chosen, I need you to first decide who will be the listener first and who will take the first turn as the speaker. The person who takes the first turn as the speaker will tell the listener about their breakfast this morning. All right? And the listener will listen to that person's breakfast account. And once the speaker is finished, the one who has been listening will relay the main point about that person's breakfast and offer that person a relevant compliment to show that you were listening. All right? It'll take less than 30 seconds. Go. All right, if you have not already done so, go ahead and switch roles with your partner. All right. So what does listening to something as mundane as someone else's account of their breakfast, be it toast with peanut butter or a bowl of Lucky Charms, have to do with listening to Jesus? While it's occasionally true that Jesus speaks to us in big, bold, grand gestures, most of the time, Jesus speaks to us in much more mundane ways. It's not always exciting or thrilling to hear what Jesus says. And sometimes it's even downright disappointing to hear what Jesus says to us. Like if your partner didn't have anything for breakfast, not even a cup of coffee, that might have been a pretty disappointing account of breakfast. However, it's not a reason that we should not attempt to listen to Jesus. We should always be ready to listen, even and especially to Jesus. Did you know that we can also listen to Jesus not only with our ears, but with our whole bodies? Let me demonstrate. What if I told you that I was listening to you, but it looked a lot like this? Would you think I listened to what you said? No, I didn't think I listened to you, especially if my back was turned to you like it was to the choir. Or what if I said, I'm listening. Am I actually listening? No. I'm telling you with my body that I am not listening to you, right? There are different ways that our bodies can listen. So what sorts of ways can we listen? Well, we could use our eyes to look at the person who is speaking to show them that we are listening. We can use our brains to listen, to focus on what's being said and the message that's being communicated. We can listen with our mouths by keeping them closed and not jabbering over the top of what someone else is saying. Our shoulders could be squared up to the speaker so that we are directly facing them with our bodies, showing them that we are attuned to what's going on. We can listen with our hearts and care about the message that's being shared with us. And we can listen with our hands and our feet by keeping them relatively still from fidgeting and certainly not carrying us off in the opposite direction. There are lots of ways that we can prepare ourselves and our bodies to do a good job of listening. There's something else that we can learn about listening from our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Orthodox traditions. They have a particular way of listening to Jesus that I find really helpful. They do it through something called the Jesus Prayer. Now, this prayer is held in common throughout Christianity, but is particularly closely associated with Eastern Orthodox practices. The prayer is a simple one. It goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's often repeated over and over again in internal contemplation as a way of opening the heart of the Christian to be united with God. The prayer is a listening device, one that puts us in a posture of hearing what God has to say to us. It's a humble prayer. Have mercy on me, a sinner. One that acknowledges our place and God's place in the world. A prayer that seeks to draw us closer to God by acknowledging God's presence with us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And this prayer is often used as a pathway to awaken our hearts to hear God speak. Now, I invite you to try it out this week. In fact, I expect you to try it out this week. So you're going to have to carve out a few moments of time when you can take some time with this short prayer. Quiet yourself. Pray it several times over and over again. Maybe use the phrases and match it to your breathing. Whatever helps you and works for you. So if you want to write it down, I'll say it again. Otherwise, I assume you know how to use Google and can Google the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. As we seek to listen to God this week, there's a few things that I know about listening to Jesus. It takes practice. It's going to take more than just one try, so maybe try it out several times this week. Something else that we heard and you may have experienced from John's gospel today is that the answer isn't always a direct answer to the question or quandary or wonder that you have for God. And the type of response may not be what we're looking for. Sometimes hearing God's response means letting go of whatever we expected to hear and actually listening for what Jesus says. Maybe when you all were younger, you remember playing the game telephone or whatever other name you had for it, where the first person has a phrase or a sentence or something that they say to the next person, and it continues down the line, person by person, until the person at the end of the line says what they heard, which is almost never what the first person started with, right? Luckily, we don't play telephone with Jesus. It doesn't have to get filtered through person by person by person, and then we know we end up with the wrong message. When we listen to Jesus, we hear those words right the first time. But sometimes it's not the thing that we want to hear. In John's gospel, Jesus says clearly that we are God's own and no one can take that away from us. However, that does mean that we have knowledge of what it means to listen to Jesus. And we can't tune him out. How Jesus speaks to us will differ from person to person. We won't all hear him in the same way, the same voice, but that's no license to stop listening. Like a well-loving parent, Jesus calls us to listen to him. Let us pray. Good shepherd of our souls, in whom we find health and peace, joy and strength, through whom we have encountered abundance and confidence in life everlasting. Be our guide. Direct us through your word and spirit that we may listen to you as witnesses of your glory. Amen.